Thanks for listening to KBUT. My name is Christopher Biddle. This is Community Matters. We are now joined by our next guest, Colorado Parks and Wildlife biologist Kevin Blecka. Kevin, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Kevin, we've asked you on to talk to us about something that has just been taking over social media, especially when it comes to the Crested Butte community. Recently, there have been a large number compared to, you know, what it's been like in the past, a large number of mountain lion sightings. So what does this mean for mountain lion populations? Are we to assume that there are more of them right now because we're seeing more, or is this just an indication for one reason or another that they're living closer to us?
Yeah, we have no evidence that there's actually more mountain lions right now in the Gunnison Valley. There are certain circumstances, though, that and actually, I guess the reason for this is probably a little more boring. And there's probably a couple of reasons behind the surge of sightings and encounters that have happened here. You know, the chances that you individually observe a mountain lion in your backyard or trail or on the trail are rare. And the probability that you encounter one that's behaving aggressively is a fairly low probability as well. And so compared to other parts of the state, we believe we have a much lower density of mountain lions, maybe not much lower, but maybe half as many per square, 100 square kilometers as an area like outside of Denver, Boulder area on the Front Range, where you hear about this much more often. Really, you know, people can live for decades in this wildland urban interface and never see one. I've talked to several people that have never had one in their backyard. Then maybe within a year later, they contact me and say, hey, I finally had a mountain lion on my porch. Really, it's just a matter of probability in most cases. However, there are times when you do have certain mountain lions out there that are maybe a little bolder, or maybe a little, you know, there's certain things going on in their lives at that time that make it so that they have to hang out a little closer to humans. And so typically mountain lions are afraid of humans, afraid of our houses. They generally are trying to stay away from us. There's a lot of good reason to. The more they hang out near homes, the more likely that they are going to die, actually. Over time, they've learned to avoid us, but there are times when certain circumstances where maybe a certain mountain lion just can't fend for itself as well. Perhaps the prey population is down, probably not in this case particularly, or maybe they just can't keep up energetically. So if, let's say, it's a mother mountain lion that's trying to rear two or four kittens, it's got to feed much more often. And those mountain lion kittens are staying with mom for up to a year, year and a half in some cases. So if, you know, in the rare case that all four of a litter, all four mountain lion kittens are brought up to adulthood, that mother has to feed or kill prey much more often.
So, Kevin, how about my theory about why we're seeing more mountain lions? It's going to be a really heavy winter.
Oh,
does that hold water?
you never know, I guess. I don't have any scientific evidence for that.
Okay. We'll let that one go.
Yeah, but, you know, I've got my own theories at times, but there's nothing that holds water there. And then the third kind of reason I mentioned about just random probability, and then, of course, behavior of individual lions. And those two things kind of work together a little bit where you could go. So let's say in the Crested Upper East and Slate River Valleys, typically we might have four or five mountain lions hanging out there all summer. If you think about those certain situations where a mountain lion has got to be a little braver, feed more often, that might only happen for one of those mountain lions every 5 years or so.
So. Let's talk about, you know, your typical encounter, you know, with a lion. Maybe you could describe that for us. And, you know, is there, you know, I am sure there's potential here for danger. Are they intimidated easily? Can you, you know, they say with a bear, you make a lot of noise and scare them away. Is the same hold true for a mountain lion, or does it depend on the mountain lion? Or how do you know whether you have an aggressive mountain lion or when you can scare away? Maybe you could sketch that out for us.
Yeah, so in most cases, you know, 90 some percent of the mountain lions out there at a given time are scared by you just being there and just maybe normal talking or whatever. They're watching us all the time. We're not seeing them most of the
time. Okay, that's creepy.
Yeah, a little bit. But part of that is just due to, you know, especially this last year. One other thing I should mention is just the number of people that we have out in the woods on trails this year is obviously much higher. So we're going to have more sightings and reportings like we've been seeing. But there are times when you get this maybe more bolder lion or a lion that is a little more desperate, has to feed more often. And so I believe this might be kind of underlying some of these cases that we see or have been seeing here or hearing of lately, where probably got one particular mountain lion that is behind many of these instances. But up in the East River and Slate areas. So typically, just being there, they're going to avoid us. However, if you're encountered by an aggressive mountain lion, one that maybe even charges you, basically stand your ground, fight back, make a lot of noise, make yourself look big. They do respond to that quite well.
Don't run.
Yeah, don't run.
Okay.
There's been cases where maybe someone was, fixing a flat tire. This isn't here locally, but there have been other cases where some of the rare attacks that do occur, and don't get me wrong, this is why we, CPW is involved with these kind of things, because attacks, although rare, have happened in Colorado and throughout North America. So, you want to make yourself look big, fight back. They definitely respond to that.
Were you referring to somebody that was changing the tire in their car because they were bent over close to their car and appearing small?
Let me just backtrack a little bit on that. There was, a case, I believe, with one a mountain biker in a different state that was changing a tire and a mountain lion attacked. Those particular, and I've heard of, some similar cases in Colorado, maybe not quite like that. Don't make yourself look like prey. It's advice.
Sure. And just to clarify here, when you say boulder lion, you don't mean a lion from, maybe you do mean a lion from Boulder,
no.
But a lion that is more that bold than his peers.
Right. So, all animals out
Chris,
there.
Chris, let me ask him about wolves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wolves?
Let me ask this. Who's higher on the food chain, a mountain lion or the gray wolf? And with the reintroduction of the gray wolf, how's that going to impact the mountain lion?
Yeah, I've looked very little into that from a scientific perspective, but I can tell you that there has been actually quite a bit of research in that in the Yellowstone ecosystem in Wyoming. And so, as far as individual encounters go, depends on how many wolves. If there's one wolf, a mountain lion could probably take it. If there's two, that's a different scenario. And same goes with
I'm betting on the mountain lion.
What's that?
I'm betting on the mountain lion.
If there's a single one. But I will tell you, that interaction is actually already going on with coyotes and mountain lions here locally. So coyotes, if there's only two coyotes, often a mountain lion can take them. But if there's more than three or more, a mountain lion is not going to fare as well.
Okay.
So it just depends on the situation.
Do mountain lions typically present as much of a problem to ranchers as wolves are said to present?
I can't make any predictions on that here. Typically we don't see a lot of very many conflicts with the ranchers unless you're dealing with these large domestic sheep grazing systems that we do have kind of on the western ends of Gunnison County.
Sure.
And it's happening. Can't always say how much It depends. Black bear typically are we have more conflicts between black bear and ranchers.
Sure.
Than mountain lions.
Sure. And sort of related, I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about, okay, so I'm from the East Coast, and on the East Coast, we have what we call catamounts in Vermont. They're a bit of a mythic creature there. I don't even know if actually one has been sighted in a very long time. But is that similar? Are we talking about, same family there? Can they all be called mountain lions?
Yeah, mountain lion. You'll hear me maybe loosely refer to them as cats, lions, but I
puma,
or puma, panther, catamount. There's probably like 50 names for them, but they're all the same species. Basically, throughout the Western Hemisphere, they are pretty much there's some subspecies differences, but even the eastern cougar is what would have been in Vermont. And, you know, the only sightings there have been confirmed to a mountain lion that came from South Dakota. And actually, I think that only made it to Connecticut. But
Kevin, do you have like a raised concern about these recent sightings, or do you just think this is part of a natural cycle?
I do have some concern because when you get a cluster of sightings like this, and especially dealing with maybe, you know, some of these sightings that have involved encounters that have involved a more aggressive lion, it's definitely raises alarm within our agency a little bit here locally, and we kind of want to get to the bottom of it to figure out what's going on here. Is it just a certain situation? Do we have a certain cat that can be, be easily dealt with, or is there a easy explanation for this? With the snow coming in to the east and Slate River valleys right now, we're probably not going to see many more of these. There might be a few elk hanging up high, but most of the deer have obviously came down in elevations, and there might be a few hanging out in the backyard still. My guess is these encounters will go down here, or they are going down actively right now.
Yeah. In a case where you do track it down to one lion, do you trap it and relocate? Do you extinguish it? What is the preferred method?
It depends on the situation. And so we can, if we could track a lion down, every situation is different. So let's say if there is a single mountain lion behind the encounters that have been happening around Crested Butte lately, we first want to determine if there's actually maybe some offspring that mm-hmm. lion is rearing. So we wouldn't want to euthanize a mountain lion if it's got a couple 8-month-old kittens or 6-month-old or 3-month-old kittens even. Obviously those kittens are not trained yet, so could be causing more problems. And so right now, from what we've understand or what we've gathered so far, most of these encounters are probably dealing with a case where we have a prey item down on the ground. At least in two of the cases that we've investigated, we've tracked it down to the prey item just being too close to a route of travel, like a trail, like on the mountain. And so I've got at least two dead deer near trails. And that's the way mountain lions defend, they're defending their food resource. They spend a lot of energy trying to take it down. And if they are needing to do that every few days, especially to help feed their kittens, they're gonna be pretty protective of it.
Well, this is a fascinating area to understand, especially with an animal that can be considered so dangerous, and yet there are so many extenuating circumstances. So thanks for explaining it.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks for listening to KBUT's Community Matters this week. Our guest has been Kevin Blecka with Colorado Parks and Wildlife, talking to us about mountain lions. Thanks, Kevin, for being with us.
Yeah, no problem, Chris.
And thanks, as always, of course, to my lovely co-host, Chris Rourke. Chris, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Christopher.
And of course, thanks as well to our first guest this evening, Scott Morrill. He's the Gunnison County Emergency Manager. Stay tuned to KBUT. Coming up next, it's Bobby's World. And make sure to check out kbut.org. We post these episodes online there. This is Community Matters on KBUT Community Radio for the entire Gunnison Valley.